May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As I've mentioned this week, I've spent a lot of time in the last few weeks just hanging out in Psalm 68. For no other reason than just that's what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And it began actually a few weeks ago when I was up at IHOP just doing a retreat. And Psalm 68 is all about the presence. And we've talked about that this week. It's about the presence and the impact of the presence on the godly and on the ungodly. And in the end, it makes it really clear that our great priority is the presence of the Lord. One of the things when we did the conference up in Kansas City that I was telling the folks was this, is that because we went there with a conference called Igniting Revival. And I told them, I said, because I believe this with all my heart, I've watched it, experienced it in my own life. I've watched it corporately and in Selma. And by the way, we've seen little expressions of revival poured out in our youth. But last night it just busted out. God just poured out his spirit. And they were all prophesying to each other, worshiping and crying, wishing, telling them they didn't want to go home. So we finally saw the trickle get busted into this flow of God moving among our young people. At our school this morning at Rock Mass, Father Mark, who's the Pied Piper of the Rock Mass, it even blew you away. They were so ready to run around this building and worship. And these are students from all over our city, so that just revival, the seeding, that kind of thing. And what I said and what I believe is that revival always starts at the threshing floor. And it's perpetuated there too. There's just something about that place where God separates. It's about the place of repentance. And one of the things we have to have happen to us is to recover in our mindset a cultural concept of repentance. Because we think of repentance as this awful, painful thing. It can be painful, but it's painfully glorious. It's like going and getting a tooth that you just can't take anymore because it's so painful, and getting relief. And there's a place in the book of Acts that talks about the gift of repentance. Dudley Hall used to say that every time you repent, you trade up. That's what repentance really is about. And in Ruth, I'll start there and then we'll end up in Psalm 68. It's not going to be long. That may sound like it's going to end up being something long, but it's not. Because we want to get to the presence of the Lord in a tangible way. But in Ruth chapter 3, at the end of the barley harvest, that she had been developing a relationship with Boaz for 7 weeks. He met her in the field as she, God's grace, had her chance upon the chance of ending up in the field of Boaz, who was to be her kinsman redeemer. And this night was the last night where they were going to separate, have the big harvest party where they would separate the wheat from the chaff. It was the night of the threshing floor. And Naomi told Ruth, she said, look, find yourself at that place. And in the evening, as the celebrations continued, it's time for you to basically propose to Boaz, to say to him, will you take me? Can I have your name? And all that comes with that. And so she does, and he makes merry. They're all making merry, and he lies down in a corner to go to sleep, and she goes, and you know the story, and pulls his garment over her. And when he wakes up and sees who she is, he asks who she is, and she tells who she is. Then he says, this is verse 9, and he said, who are you? This is chapter 3. And she said, I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a kinsman redeemer. And then he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you wish. Just amazing scripture. And in type, it speaks about Ruth. The book of Ruth is all about revival and redemption. And she finds herself at that threshing floor, which is a manifestation or a symbol of being a repentant. And in the heart of brokenness and repentance, asking him for redemption and transformation in her life. And I love the response here, because we think that when we come to God with repentance, he's kind of like a school teacher that's really mean. As we get before him, fallen before him, he's like, so I told you so, you know. But he doesn't. Instead, he delights in her, celebrates, as if she's doing him a favor because she's come to him and asked him to restore her life for forgiveness and restoration and redemption and filling in New Testament language. And he says, whatever you ask of me, that I'll do. Which is a real insight into the four times in the Upper Room Discourse when Jesus said, ask anything in my name, it'll do it for you. Just that whole threshing floor mindset, that life of being set apart, which all comes from having a perpetual heart of repentance. And in Psalm 68, there's just this neat place that I was pondering this morning. And maybe you're not like me. The Lord is so patient with me. So I just get with the Lord, do my time with him. And I say, okay, Lord, what? And he goes, Psalm 68. And I'm like going, oh, God, I don't think I can get anything else from Psalm 68. And, of course, he's so faithful to speak all kinds of amazing things. And this is the one I want us to see. Verse 13 of Psalm 68. The whole psalm is about presence and about battle and all that kind of thing. If you remember, those of you who have been coming and hearing some of this, I love verse 8. The earth quaked and the heavens also dropped. What an amazing image. And the earth also, and the heavens also dropped at the presence of the Lord. You see, whenever God's presence comes in, and repentance provides an attitude, an atmosphere for his presence to keep coming in, keep coming in. And whenever God's presence manifests, the heavens drop. All the things we hear about, open heaven, living under the favor of God, the open windows of God, that's what it's about. Heavens drop, heaven on earth. But it's all the result of the presence of God. The heavens always follow his presence. And then he says, thou didst shed a plentiful rain and confirm the inheritance. The plentiful rain would speak of that whole, when heavens drop, and then the favor of God just is poured out. But it says in verse 13, when you lie down among the sheepfolds, and this is a really difficult passage to understand, so I knew everything I needed to do to understand what was being said, because I knew this is where God wanted me to be. But that word sheepfold can be interpreted several ways. The really primary meaning is heap of ashes. And ashes in Scripture always speak of repentance. And he says, when you lie down in a heap of ashes, and that may seem like, how many times in my life have I gone to the Lord, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted, they'll be paracleted, they'll be Holy Spirited, to go before the Lord and just mourn again about my sin. Oh God, I just can't believe I thought that again or said that again or did that again. You know, I've come to you over and over again, and here I am again. I'm just broken. You know, at my immaturity, I'm broken at grieving your heart. And then the Lord says this. He says, when you lie down among the ashes, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions glistening with gold. Remember Boaz's response to her. His response was, he delighted in her. Remember the story I read a few weeks ago from St. Jerome? He was the one who translated the Bible into Latin, the first one to translate of the whole Bible into the Western language. And when he had completed it, it was Christmas Eve, and he was asking the Lord on Christmas Day, Lord, well, what can I give? Lord, Jesus said to him, what will you give me for my birthday? And he said, well, I'll give you this Bible I've completed, and he spent 27 years doing it. And Jesus said, I don't want that. And he was frustrated, and he began to offer all these different things, and Jesus said, no, I don't want that, I don't want that. And he finally said, well, Lord, what can I give you that you really want? And Jesus said, give me your sin. That's the greatest gift you can give me, because that's the thing that separates us from enjoying each other's presence. That's why he loves it for us to give us our sin. And even though we feel like we're in a heap of ashes, he sees something beautiful in those ashes. It's like a dove's wings, Holy Spirit's wings. They're like silver, glistening. And the pinions, the tips, are like gold that's glistening. That's such an encouragement to me. The Lord, when I'm there, and the devil, you know how he does, he tells you God's so disappointed in you, and he's all these things. But he's there, and when we're in that heap of ashes, we're as beautiful to him as we've ever been. He just sees this beautiful thing happening in the midst of all these ashes, and it says, when the Almighty scattered the enemy there, it was snowing in Zalmon. Snow speaks of, you know, you'd be like scarlet, then be white as snow. Snow speaks of forgiveness and cleansing and purity. But the word Zalmon is an awesome word. It means the place of image or the place of likeness or the place of the face. And we all know that the face in the Old Testament speaks of the presence of God as well as the New Testament. He said, when you're in that heap of ashes, He says, you're as beautiful to me as I ever see you. Because it means your heart longs for my presence. And so you may just see ashes. I see like a dove's wings of silver and pinions of gold that are glistening. He says, it's there that the enemy's defeated. It's in that place of surrender and brokenness, repentance, where the enemy's defeated. And he says, and that place becomes a place where you're cleansed. And in the place of that purity of heart, blessed are those who are pure in heart, not perfect in walk. So they get to see God in their own life. He said, in that place, the enemy's defeated, and in that place, your heart's becoming pure, and the presence, it becomes a place of presence, the place of revival. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.